Property group Growthpoint reported full year results today. The company is, of course, one of the biggest REITs on the JSE. It has a market cap of around 80 billion, and the group has declared a dividend of 208.6 cents a share. That is an increase of 6.5% compared to the previous year. On the line is Norbert Sasser. He is the CEO of Growthpoint. Norbert, welcome to the show. Should shareholders be happy with a 6.5% increase in the dividend?
I think so. My personal view at the moment is that any growth is actually good growth. You know, if you look at some of the results that have been published recently by some of the retailers and that many of these South African corporates that are exposed to the South African economy, certainly times are clearly very, very tough, and many of them are reporting reduced profits or lower profits. Nobody's really making losses necessarily, but certainly lower levels of profit. So we guided the market for about a 6.5% increase at the beginning of the year. We confirmed that at the half year, and we managed to deliver it for the year. I guess it's the makeup, which is interesting, where, you know, the growth in large part actually came from our internationalization strategy and further investments offshore rather than necessarily from the core South African business, which continues to be under tremendous pressure.
Yeah, the SAPI index is pretty much the dog of the JSE this year, down 20% since January. The Growthpoint share price is down around 3.5% year to date. But do you think this whole negative, headwinds in the sector is maybe a bit overdone?
I think you've got to probably, look into it a bit deeper. You know, that 20% decline is obviously significantly weighted towards what happened, I guess, with the companies in the, let's call it the broader resilience stable, where, those guys are down between 36 and 60-odd percent, and they're a very significant component of the index. And, the downward movement in those prices have got nothing actually to do with fundamentals in property. You may or may not be aware of, I guess, some of the potential investigations that are outstanding there, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, core, if you strip out the noise from that particular group, the core fundamental business of property and property investment and the property returns are actually pretty reasonable, given the state of the domestic economy. And obviously many of the other listed property companies have also ventured offshore, and certainly I think those that have ventured offshore are showing slightly better returns than the ones that are just purely exposed to the domestic economy. So I don't think, I think it appears, overdone, as you say, but I think you've got to strip out that noise which is linked to the resilient group, and you might say that, on that basis, it's not quite, as overdone as you might suggest. But, nonetheless, I think, certainly there is generally a pretty negative sentiment all around relative to the property, as you say, used to be the darling, and at the moment it's facing undoubtedly a few headwinds. But again, we are, I guess, a proxy for the South African economy. If the economy is not growing, it's impossible for us to, show significant growth in rentals and occupancies, et cetera, et cetera.
Your vacancy rate increased from 4.4% to 5.4%. Now, that is a 1 percentage point increase, but if you work it out, it's actually a significant rise of around 22% in your vacancies. What is the story here? Is that also just a reflection of the economic conditions?
Undoubtedly, absolutely. I mean, the market's never been more competitive domestically. So, we have circa 50 listed property players. Everybody's vying for the same tenants. I think, the 1% move is mainly in our office portfolio, and the retail portfolio remained relatively stable, as did industrial. So the bulk of the move in the office portfolio, and that sector has been probably the weakest of the three for the last 3 to 4 years. Continues to remain weak. The demand for offices is very patchy and is very specific for a specific kind of office. The tenants are looking for modern, energy efficient type buildings with big floor plates. So, some of the older buildings are less attractive, and you know, as you well know, there's still a fair bit of development taking place, notwithstanding the weak economy. But that is in an effort to produce the kind of assets that, in fact, the market wants, you know, these modern green energy efficient buildings with big floor plates. So, yeah, the movement is directly linked to the, let's say, the state of the economy, where very few companies, as you know, are growing and expanding. Most of the big corporates are still consolidating and reducing space.
You sold around 20 properties during the period. That seems to be a large number.
It is, but bear in mind, we do also have a very significant portfolio. You know, our total South African assets amount to 454 properties across the country. So as a percentage, you know, 20 is not, you know, not such a big number. Mm. But, yeah, I mean, we definitely have taken a view over the last couple of years. I think if you go back in our results, the last sort of 2 or 3 years, every year we've been selling between 1.5 and 2 billion range of assets. This year, probably a little bit more pronounced. During the year itself, I think we sold in the order of about 1.5 billion range of assets. And then at balance sheet date, we held another 3-odd billion range of assets for sale. So these would be assets that we have sold. We've got signed contracts for the sale, but they haven't quite transferred yet. So transfer would only take place after the balance sheet date. That's another 3 billion. So, you know, all in all, you know, over 5-odd billion range worth of sales, it is a big number. And it is part of our strategy to optimize the portfolio, to get rid of some of the non-core properties, and use some of those proceeds to further our internationalization strategy.
So what you're saying, it's not out of the norm, and it's just part of your whole strategy. But how many new projects are you busy with in South Africa?
Yeah, we spend about 2 billion a year in new developments. This year in particular, certainly the one that's been the highlight of our results for the last 2 odd years has been the Discovery head office building here in Sandton. You know, that's over 3 billion rand project. We did that in joint venture with a private developer called Zenprop. We have, future commitments in excess of a couple of billion. So every year we're spending a couple of billion on new projects and new developments. We've roughly been selling an equal amount. So, you know, net our total, let's say, asset value in the South African portfolio hasn't necessarily, you know, grown due to the dynamic of selling some, but then replacing that with, let's say, new developments.
The construction industry is really in a bad space, and we've seen some big players such as Essor, Basil Reed, Avenge, and a few others apply for business rescue. Obviously, you are related to that industry. Are you concerned about this, and does it affect you?
I think, we are deeply concerned about it. I guess once again, because it talks to the state of the South African economy. And on a broader basis, we are very concerned about it. I think if you bring it closer to home, it obviously reduces, our ability, to get pricing tension. You know, when we do go out to tender on some of these developments, you don't really want to be a situation where you only have one or two companies that could potentially, do the work for you, because it just reduces some of the competition and some of the price tension that you could potentially create. So, it is certainly worrying for us. For now, at the level at which we are developing, 2 odd billion a year, plus at the waterfront, we probably spend another 500 million to 700 million a year. You know, we do find that there's enough capacity in the construction industry and in the market to satisfy, whatever needs we have and demands we have on them.
Just lastly, are you worried about the current land debate and implications for Growthpoint?
Yeah, I think it is certainly something which is on everybody's mind. It is something which is, very critical, not only to us, but for the country as a whole. We remain, I think, encouraged, by the fact that there is a process underway. which seems to be a pretty well-managed process. And more recently, if you read, the press on what the president has articulated vis-a-vis the process, we encourage that at the end of the day, you'll have a sensible outcome following a rigorous process and a transparent process. But I think the critical thing is that one way or another, there needs to be a level of certainty around the issue, and policy needs to be adopted and clarified so that everybody knows exactly where they stand. And once that's clear, at least then you know what you're dealing with.
Have you delayed any projects due to concerns?
We haven't at this particular point delayed any of our new investments and new development projects due to these concerns. As I said, in the overall context of the size of the business, the development pipeline of $2 billion a year is relatively modest. But it certainly, is something which we take to account at every time we're making investment decisions.
Thank you, Norbert. That was Norbert Sasser, CEO of Growthpoint. And that's it for this edition of the MoneyWeb at Midday Show. From myself, Ryk van Niekerk, and the MoneyWeb team, thanks for tuning in.